Cornell was preordained. My parents, both class of 29, who got there because they were Regents scholars, brainwashed me beautifully. The first time I went to Cornell, I was 6 years old and spent the summer there. And my sister went there, her husband went there, 8 members of the family have gone to Cornell, including a grandson who graduates in 2011 as a theater arts major. So the tradition continues. I had some relevant professors and some that were irrelevant, but the ones that I remember the most, one was Mario Einaudi, and his father was the president of Italy. And I took government, I think it was the spring of my freshman year, and Stalin died, and half the government department went to Washington. I mean, it was unbelievable. They were all called in saying, now what do? We don't have any idea who's going to be running the place and what's going to happen after his death. So that was pretty interesting. I also had a guy named Knight Biggerstaff, Southeast Asian Studies, and it was kind of interesting. I had a couple courses with him, and one of them happened during the French being driven out of Vietnam in 1954, as I recall, Dien Bien Phu, and it was kind of interesting to hear about that. The most interesting professor I had was Vladimir Nabokov. And there's a very funny story that I'll tell you about him. It was a huge class, and he stood up on stage, and his wife, Vera, was off to the side taking copious notes. And I couldn't figure out why, but I think it was to do with making sure that he covered the material. So when the 2 exams came, he had, in fact, talked about those. And they're very structured lectures, so I don't think he missed very much. But the first exam, I was sort of a BMOC on campus, running everything. I majored in activities, but I had to lie about economics. Was a huge reading list, you know, the Russian authors and the French authors, the British authors, and Spanish and so on. There must have been 15 books, and I just knew I couldn't get through 15 novels. So I said, being a senior at the time, I said, I think this guy's Russian. I think he's going to emphasize the Russian writers. And I was right. And so when the exam came, I said, oh my God, I know all the answers. I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, filled up the book, walked out of the prelim feeling about as good as I ever felt walking out of anything. The grades were posted, and I got a 65. So the great man said, if anybody wants to protest their grade, they can make an appointment to see me. They'd use TAs and so on. So, of course, I rushed up to the front and signed up to see him. I brought in my prelim book a few days later, and he sat there reading it like this. He says, yes, Mr. Rice, of course, he mispronounced my name. You have all the correct answers. You have done everything exactly right, but I don't feel the sweat on the back of the peasants. I don't smell the wheat in the fields. The grade stands. I was crushed. So fast forward to the final exam, and I said, this son of a gun, he's going to do Ulysses. So I read Ulysses. It was not fun, I must admit. And it was on Ulysses. So I wrote however many pages there are on a prelim book, let's say it's 16, everything, you know, without punctuation, without capitalization, so on. I got a 95. So I had learned something at Cornell, give the man what he wanted, not necessarily what the right answers were. Now, turning to professors that I have known since then, there's so many. I was thinking about that. I wrote down a list of about 25 that I've gotten to know very well, mostly since I graduated. And as some people know, I was the founder of Cornell Adult University, and that was one of the vehicles to get to know and meet so many of these professors. And I was chairman of that board for 10 years, and now it's expanded. In addition to the core course, they'll have individual courses on hiking or on painting or on music, you name it, something for everybody. And we have a children's program there that from kids that are about 3 on up through high school. And of course, one of the things they loved about it, we put the high school kids upstairs on a separate floor, so they didn't have to see any of their parents for a whole week. One thing that you could get away with in 1950s that you can't get away with today was creating fictitious students. And I created a fictitious student named Narbi Crimsnatch from Yemen. There were no students from Yemen at the time. The name kind of dropped into my lap as I was doing interviews for committee positions at Willard Strait Hall, and there was this one that signed Narbi Crimsnatch, but nobody ever showed up, so it was obviously a phony application. And I said, that name is too good not to to waste. So I used it in so many ways, you wouldn't believe it. I had a good friend named Ed Fitzgerald, since passed away, and he would make me up, darken my hair, and put a mustache and a goatee on, and I would go represent Narbi at the Model United Nations or whatever the event was. I got him elected to the Cornell Independent Association. He was everywhere. And I was living in the fraternity at the time, and so I had him living in the dorms, theoretically. And I had an arrangement with the dorm counselor to, when somebody called to ask for Narbi, he would say, he's not here, but I'll leave a message. And he'd call me at the fraternity, and I'd call this person back. Well, the most interesting call I got was from the Cornell Daily Sun, and saying, I don't think this guy exists. I've looked around. You know, he didn't have ID numbers then and so on. And I said, well, can I talk to you? He said, yeah, I work at Willard Strait, you know, in the cafeteria there. And if you come through between 3 and 4 and order 2 cups of tea with cream, I'll know you're Narbi. So I got every member of my fraternity to go through before me and order 2 cups of tea with cream. So I was the last one, and he said, don't tell me you're Narbi. And I said, well, we can't really tell you about this. And he said, why not? I said, we're part of an experiment being funded by the Ford Foundation that is trying to prove discrimination against students from Yemen. And the guy fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. I said, you will get the whole story when our report is completed, but silence is necessary now. Turning to CCLA a little bit there, that's been a wonderful club. I've been on the board for 25 years, if I had to guess. And we started out being joint with Orange County and LA, and then the commute got to be bad, and we said, why don't you set up your own club? So Orange County did that. And the thing that's made it work is that a couple things. One is we have this pipeline of young people coming through and a few senior citizens just to kind of have their hand on the tiller in case they go off the deep end on something that doesn't work. And one of our big successes has been scholarship dinners. It's diversity not only of people, but of educational opportunities, which I think makes us so unique in the Ivy League and almost unique to virtually any quality university in the country. And I think that's so valuable. Cornell has a very balanced liberal point of view, and I'd say with room for conservatives and radicals. And I think that's wonderful that we have that balance in there and that we sort of allow that to happen. But I also think that the word liberal has been misconstrued by many people today. So I looked it up in Webster. Liberal means tolerance of others, of others' views, as well as open-mindedness to ideas that challenge tradition, establish institutions, education, religion, politics, and the like. Truly something to be proud of, in my opinion, and worth savings. After all, isn't that what a major university is all about? It's a beautiful campus, and I think its isolation is a plus because there's 4 years in your life that you'll never have again where you are somewhat isolated and can just focus on education and sort of growing up, if you will. The student body, I think, is more hardworking than most universities. The faculty is more demanding of them, and I think that's good. I think there's gotten to be a lot of sort of laissez-faire attitude in many universities today. But the other thing is there's so much diversity. You've got everything from painting to poetry, from concerts to climbing walls, from great speakers to salsa dancers. Other things are obviously an excellent faculty and with strong educational leadership in the administration, a tremendous support of alma mater by our alumni. They're proud to be Cornellians, and those that are active are really loyal to the end. Those are the ramblings of a 50-year-out Cornellian.